Blog Talk Radio.
Holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So if you would like to join us at 7 p.m., please feel free to dial in your prayer requests and to tune in to our message for this evening. And you can dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Jehovah Majin. Majin, the Lord, my shield. And Deuteronomy 33:29 says, blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord Jehovah, who is the shield, margin of your help, and the sword of your majesty. So your enemies will cringe before you, and you will tread upon their high places. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Jehovah Majin, blessed is your name. Blessed is your ability to shield your people, to save. You bring help when help is needed. You bring protection when protection is requested. You enable your own to tread on the heights just as you lift the Israelites above their enemies when their hearts were turned toward you. No army is too big to intimidate you. No evil can plan can outwit you. Enemies cower before you because you are Jehovah Majin. Majin. Praise be to God. Amen, amen, and amen. So you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. I hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music and our prayers as we are into this first hour of worship and praise.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Heavenly.
Lord of my shield, forgive me for running out from behind your shield, for not putting you first in my life. You say that if I will seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, all the things I need will be given to me, including your shield of protection. Yet I have put a number of things ahead of you and ultimately stepped away so many times. Lord of my shield, you are like an umbrella shielding me from the rain. You don't make the rain stop all the time. Sometimes you allow it to continue. But when I am under you as my umbrella, you stop the rain from falling on me. Forgive me for stepping out from under your covering and seeking my own. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes we don't treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burden. Can't find a brain, can't stop your heart. Heard it. You're searching deep within. Where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive the saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Heard a story about a woman who had an issue of blood. For 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the
had given up on hope. She heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, "Somebody touch me." Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, "Your faith has made you whole." All you need is a little faith to receive and save and grace. Hold on,
hold on
to the hand of his garment. Don't let Jesus pass you by. You'll make everything alright. Oh yes. My. All you gotta do is hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go. No, 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 no. Hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh,
hold
yes, he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa, oh,
oh, oh. Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Lord, have mercy.
Hold on.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Hold on to the hem of his garment and don't let go. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
I have said the Lord always before me.
Praise be to God, everybody. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, A Sacrifice of Love. Praise be to God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from John chapter 13, verse 35. And it says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen. Praise be to God. The writer says, your willingness to love others must never depend on their ability to give love back to you. Some people will never be satisfied with what you do for them. Others will never feel worthy of your care. no matter how much you encourage them or include them in your life. People may even reject you by their actions while saying that they love you with their words. To love means risking the possibility of being rejected. However, the goal in love, in loving, is not to evoke a response from another person, but to be a living example of Christ's love. Amen? So therefore, care for others by ministering to them, supporting them in a manner that is meaningful to them rather than how you would want to be ministered to. However, if you find someone will not accept you despite your best efforts, then ask yourself, is God really asking me to show love to this person? If so, then he assured that Jesus accepts your efforts, even if they don't. And that's all that really matters. He will reward you by sending you someone who can receive your love and who will love you in return in the ways and in the moments you need it most. Amen. Praise be to God. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. So let us pray. Jesus, I want to be your disciple. Help me love others with your wisdom and sacrificial grace. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Later on in the broadcast, I will be doing our 10-day Christmas reflections on the life and light of Christ. Amen? Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen? To God be the glory. I hope you enjoy this selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. Let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you. I am the one who sees a need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am healer, mender. I am Alpha Omega. Your destiny and where you start.
I am the one who does impossible.
At 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed.
I am.
Oh,
I am.
Yes, sir.
God says,
I am.
I got a headache right now, but
I am.
My body's racking with pain, but I am. Somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but
I am.
Hey, hey.
I am.
the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
He can bring you out no matter what it looks like.
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, say, stop, say.
I am.
Just lean on him because
the Lord, my shield, thank you for the goodness of your protecting me, protecting power, and for the greatness of your strength. A shield is able to defend only if it is large enough, strong enough, and positioned correctly. You are all of these things, and I am grateful that you offer yourself to me as my shield, as the shield of my life. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play another selection, and then after the selection, I will come back with our reflection. Praise be to God.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry, God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you. all of my trials,
my trials and trials,
all of my tribulations,
my trials and trials,
I learned to trust in Jesus,
my trials and trials.
Oh, I trust in Jesus, he's my friend. I will trust in the Lord. Put your trust, put all your trust, put it in Jesus.
I have learned to trust in the Lord. The voices of Citadel. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our reflection, which is entitled, The True Light. And the scripture reading for this message, it's coming from John chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. And it says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or pain or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from John 1 and 9, where it says, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." The writer says, from the top of a hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, shines one of the brightest, most visible beams of light on earth. It's so bright that a book could be read from its light while away in space. At night, it also attracts insects, bats that feed on them, and owls that eat the bats. The city lights recently attracted a huge swarm of grasshoppers from miles around, dazzling by that unusual bright beam. The light that shines from heaven is brighter still, but far from feeding any food chain, this divine source of light gives life to all who will come. John describes it this way: the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. And you'll find that in John 1, 9 through 10 and 12. In John 8 and 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The light of his perfect, loving life shines as the one true beacon of hope for everyone on earth who longs to come out of the darkness. Through his cross and empty tomb, Jesus welcomes us to believe in him and receive forgiveness, so that even we may become God's cherished sons and daughters and begin life anew in his love. Hallelujah. Question: how has God's true light made a difference in your life? And in what practical way can you share his love with another today? Think about those two questions. Amen. To God be the glory, the true one light.
Let us pray. God of light and life, I praise you for rescuing me from the darkness. Please help me to shine your light today. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And this is our second day's journey of Jesus, the light of the world. Praise God. So at this time, as we're getting ready to end the first hour of our program for this evening, I will play another selection.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Be the center, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
This life in the name.
Amen. Praise be to God. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, the Lord of my shield. Shield me from the attacks of the enemy. He comes at me with fiery darts, seeking to remove me from your will. Harden my heart to your love and lure me into temptation, sin. Restore to me a spirit of faith so that I will look to your shield in every way. Shield me from attacks that come when I am believing a lie and not the truth. I am a child of the King and an heir to your kingdom. And I ask you to be my shield from anything and everything that tries to get me to believe differently. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come with a word from the Lord. Praise be to God. For my God is sustaining me. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, this is simple. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God? My God is
sustaining
me.
Oh,
Amen. Praise be to God, for God is sustaining me. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew's chapter 2. Amen. That's the book of Matthew's chapter 2, and we are going to read verses 1 through 12. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation.
Sure. Translate into which language?
English.
I can't translate into English yet.
Okay. Thank you. Praise be to God. Okay, again, that is Matthew's chapter 2. Come on, guys. Matthew's chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, this chapter is talking about the visitors arrived from eastern lands, which means they are talking about the wise men. Amen? So Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Yes? Go sit down. No. Amen. Sorry for the interruption. Again, we are reading Matthew chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Sit down. And it says, again, praise God. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern land arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this and was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote: And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. But God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So as we see in these scriptures, Bethlehem is a small town 5 miles south of Jerusalem, and it sits on a high ridge over 2,000 feet above sea level. And it is mentioned in more detail in the Gospel of Luke. Luke also explained why Joseph and Mary was in Bethlehem when Jesus was born, rather than in Nazareth, their hometown. So the land of Israel was divided into four political districts and several lesser territories. Judea was to the south, Samaria in the middle, and Galilee to the north, and Adumma to the southwest. Bethlehem of Judea, also called Judah, had been prophesied as the Messiah's birthplace. Jerusalem was also in Judea and was the seat of government for Herod the Great, king over all four political districts. After Herod's death, the districts were divided among three separate rulers. Although he was a ruthless, evil man who murdered many in his own family, Herod the Great supervised the renovation of the temple, making it much larger and more beautiful. This made him popular with many Jews. Jesus would visit Jerusalem many times because the great Jewish festivals were held there. Amen. Praise be to God. So the spirit of Christmas is the spirit of giving. We read that the wise men brought gifts and presented them to the newborn king of Israel. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is the king of metals and is an appropriate gift for one born to be the king of humankind. This new king was to rule not by force, but by love. His throne was to be a cross. They brought a gift of frankincense, which is a gift appropriate for a priest. The Christ was to be the high priest who would open up the way to God for sinners. He was to build the bridge by which we could come into the presence of God, and by which God, in love, would enter our lives. The wise men also brought a gift of myrrh, a spice that was used to anoint the bodies of the dead. Even at the beginning of Christ's life, there was an indication of a cross at the end of the way. Jesus Christ was to be the true King, the perfect priest, the supreme Savior. The wise men were not the ones who started the practice of giving gifts at Christmas. It is appropriate for us to take note of their gifts for the King. But let us not forget the great gifts the King gives to us. Amen? Let us not ever forget. Let us pray. Holy Father, in this Christmas season, we are reminded of the greatness of your generosity to us. We thank you for the songs of the angels announcing the birth of the Christ. We thank you for the shepherds who went to behold the newborn King. We thank you for the wise men who sought him and worshiped him. We come thanking you for the many gifts that have come to us through the Christ. Tonight, we come bringing the love and gratitude of our hearts to you. We give you the best that we have because you have given your best to us. Accept our tithes and offerings as indication of our desire to give ourselves to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, and it said, "They fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Amen. Praise be to God. And my title for this message is Christmas Gifts and Christmas Giving. Praise be to God. Gifts through the King. The Christ of Christmas was born to be the King of our hearts. For the kingdom of God, he was born and lived a sinless life on earth. For the kingdom of God, he prayed and preached and wrought miracles and taught his disciples for the kingdom. He suffered the darkness of Gethsemane and endured the awful agony of the cross. For the kingdom, he arose from the dead and lives to make intercession for those who come to God through him. Jesus Christ is the one whom God has appointed to be our King. Amen. Praise be to God. He offers us the gift of forgiveness. And our part is to repent and turn from a life of evil and self-destructiveness. In Romans 6 and 23, okay, turn with me to Romans 6 and 23. Praise God. Amen. 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. So eternal life is a gift from God. It is a gift. Then it is not something that we earn, nor something that must be paid back. So let's consider the foolishness of someone who receives a gift given out of love and then offers to pay for it. A gift cannot be purchased by the recipient. A more appropriate response to a loved one who offers a gift is graceful acceptance with gratitude. Our salvation is a gift of God, not something or of our own doing. Ephesians 2:8-9. He saved us because of his mercy, not because of any good things that we have done. Titus 3:5. How much more we should accept with thanksgiving the gift that God has freely given to us. Amen. Praise God. He offers us the gift of eternal life. He gives us eternal life out of generosity of the Father God. In John 1:12, he offers us adoption into the family of God. John. Amen. John 1:12. Which we just read. And 12 says, "But to all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God." All who welcome Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives are reborn spiritually, receiving new life from God through faith in Christ. This new birth changes us from the inside out, rearranging our attitudes, desires, and motives. Being born makes you physically alive and places you in your parents' family. Being born of God makes you spiritually alive and puts you in God's family. Have you asked Christ to make you a new person? This fresh start in life is available to all who believe in Christ. In John 8:12, let's turn to John 8:12. John 8:6-7. 8:12 says, "Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, 'I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life.'" Hallelujah. So what it means to follow Christ as a soldier follows his captain, so we should follow Christ, our commander. As a slave follows his master, so we should follow Christ, our Lord. As we follow the advice of a trusted counselor, so we should follow Jesus' command to us in Scripture. As we follow the laws of our nation, we should follow the laws of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So he offers us guidance through difficult and perplexities of life. Praise God. So turn with me to John 15. That's John chapter 14, 15, and we are going to read verses 5 through 9. And this is Jesus speaking, amen? And he says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Amen. So he's saying many people try to be good, honest people who do what is right. But Jesus says that the only way to live a truly good life is to stay close to him. Like a branch attached to the vine. But apart from Christ, our efforts are unfruitful. Are you receiving the nourishment and life offered by Christ, the vine? If not, you are missing a special gift he has for you. So when a vine produces much fruit, God is glorified, for daily he sent the sunshine and rain to make the crops grow, and constantly he nurtured each tiny plant and prepared it to bloom, to blossom. What a moment of glory for the Lord of the harvest when the harvest is brought into the barns, matured and ready for use. He made it all happen. This farming analogy shows how God is glorified when people come into a right relationship with him and begin to produce much fruit in their lives. Amen? Praise be to God. He assures us of the fruit and significance if we will abide in him. In John 17:4, he says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Amen. Praise God. No, John, excuse me, 17 and 24. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. He has given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. The Holy Spirit will be our teacher and helper throughout all of the journey of our earthly life. So let's turn to Luke 11 and 13. Amen. Luke 11 and 13. 11:13 says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. So here, Jesus is, even though good fathers make mistakes, they treat their children well. How much better our perfect Heavenly Father treats his children. The most important gift he could ever give us is the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, 1 and 4, 1 through 4, whom he promised to give all believers after his death, resurrection, and return to heaven. John 15 and 26. Praise be to God. Now turn with me to John. This is, we're still talking about he has given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. John 14, okay, John 14, 16, 14, 16 through 18. And it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, and who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Praise be to God. So the word translated advocate combines the ideas of comfort and counsel. The word could also be translated comforter, encourager, or counselor. The Holy Spirit is a powerful person on our side, working for and with us. Amen. Praise be to God. These precious gifts of God that comes to us through his Son are perfect, precious, permanent, and personal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Gifts for the King. The wise men brought rich gifts and presented them to the Christ child while he was still a baby. They could not possibly know the joys of his salvation as we know them today. If they brought the best they had, it follows that we should bring even greater gifts to this one whom God has appointed to be our King. So let us give Jesus Christ the throne of our heart. Satan wants to be enthroned in our hearts and be the sovereign of our lives. Perhaps Satan's greatest rival for this position is our own selfish selves. We have an ungodly desire to put ourselves above all persons and things. Instead of giving self the throne rights of our lives, which means giving them to Satan, let us give them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He deserves to be King because of who he is. He deserves to be King because of what he has done for us. He deserves to be King in our lives because of what he will do in us and through us. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Present your body as a gift to God in gratitude for his great mercy to you. Romans 12 and 1. Paul taught the believers at Corinth that their bodies were the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3 and 16. First Corinthians 3 and 16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Amen. You see, Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that they were a unified assembly. All of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you. They were not to see themselves as a collection of competing interests of or independent individuals. Paul was emphasizing the intent of Jesus' prayer in John 17, 21 through 23, that believers be unified in God. Which actions could you take this week to strengthen your ties to fellowship in the Church of Jesus Christ? Amen. Praise be to God. He further declared that their bodies belong to God because they have been purchased by God in the act of redemption. 1 Corinthians 6. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to read verses 19 and 20. 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. What did Paul say? What did Paul mean when he said that our body belongs to God? Many people say they have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies. We don't have that right. The bodies do not belong to us. They belong to God. Although they think that this is freedom, they are really enslaved to their own desires. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Therefore, we no longer own our bodies, that God bought us with a high price, refers to slaves purchased at an auction. Christ's death freed us from sin, but also obligates us to his service. If you live in a building owned by someone else, you try not to violate the building's rules. Because your body belongs to God, you must not violate his standards for living. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. In reality, Paul was encouraging them to let God so abide within their bodies that others would be reminded of his gracious presence in them. Being the gift, bring the gift of thanksgiving and give God the praise of your heart. Through the psalmist, God declared, in Psalms 50 and 23 in the RSV, he who brings thanksgiving as his sacrifice honors me. To remain silent when we can give praises to God for his goodness is to rob God, at the same time to deprive others of the blessings this testimony could bring. To give a joyful testimony about God's goodness before non-believers is to encourage them to trust God with their lives. This is the greatest favor we can give to an individual, and it is the greatest joy we can bring to the Father God. And my conclusion for this message is, the spirit of Christmas is the spirit of giving. God initiate this spirit by giving his son to be our savior. To become our savior, Jesus became our substitute. He bore our sins by dying on a cross, and God raised him from the dead to show his great love for us. Because God loved us first, we should love him. Because God gave his best, we should give our best back to him. True worship is bringing the best we have to God, who has already given his best to us. Why does God love a cheerful giver? It is because God is a generous giver. God loves in a special way those who have responded to his love and become the channel through which his love reaches others. The spirit of Christmas is the spirit of giving. So let us become givers of ourselves to God, to our family, and to others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do next is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your Christian walk. Amen. To God be the glory. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596 Bronx, New York, 10468.